Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Ronald Mackay, author of the memoir, A Scotsman Abroad. Ronald, at the time in the 60s, Romania was not at all well known in the West. You write about its ethnic diversity and its troubled history and friends that you made from its diverse minorities. You yourself came from the UK, a country made up of four nations whose history has also been troubled at times. Did you find that your Scottish background and culture was in any way a help or a hindrance to understanding Romania and its people?
Oddly enough, I felt at home in Romania right away. Bucharest was a very elegant and beautiful city, and the countryside, especially the Prahova Valley, where I spent my very first weekend, was magnificent. The standard of living in Romania in 67 was not that much different from Scotland. Most of the people I came into contact with were well-read, well-educated, and school and university education were highly prized. Family values were similar to those in Scotland. People in Romania had time for each other. As in Scotland at that time, they walked everywhere. Romanians stopped and talked to each other in the street, as we had done in Scotland. And then in Scotland, we were used to authority with a capital A during and after the war. But the huge difference, of course, between Scotland and Romania was the repressive control by the Communist Party and the law of association that discouraged Romanians from speaking to me. And of course, the existence of the secret police, whose job was to intimidate.
In your memoir, obviously, are real people, places, events, and you recall them all the way you saw them. The people that you write about, how have those people reacted to your book?
Well, many good friends and acquaintances from many different countries tell me they've read it and enjoyed it, and some of these people have known me for decades. I've had comments that they understand me better now, having read the book. Romanians, of course, they make up the bulk of the readership, and their reaction has been very heartening. Several have let me know that I've captured accurately and authentically the ethos of communist Romania in the 1960s, as well as the character of Bucharest University, and the city, and even the entire country. The first Romanian to read the finished draft was Professor Dino Sandulescu. I made friends with Dino during my second year in Bucharest. Dino defected in Finland in 1969 and has had a stellar career in the West. Dino was sufficiently impressed by my manuscript to send it to the director of the press that serves Bucharest University. Lydia Vianu, the director, immediately asked if they could publish it, and it appeared online on the 18th of March of this year. I've also been in touch with the person with the greatest emotional stake in the book, the bright and beautiful young woman I refer to only by the initial M. She is now a happily married businesswoman of substance in the United States, and we've had the luxury of sharing some fond memories. In fact, I've got a recent letter from her, and this is what she says. The love, patience and care you put into this work is profoundly touching. Your observations shed light on the system and on the Bucharest of my youth in ways much crisper and more perceptive than my memories ever could. I'm grateful, moved and inspired by the book. What I can't quite fathom is the richness of detail that you have recaptured after a lifetime of distance. Needless to say, her comments pleased me enormously.
Well, I think we would love to hear a little more from your memoir, if you would read for us.
Yes, indeed. I would be happy to. The background to this chapter, it's called A Troop of Tanks, is that by the spring of 1969, I'd been in Romania for more than 18 months. Howard, a friend from London, came to visit. The British consul in Bucharest lent us her car to explore the painted monasteries of Bukovina in the extreme north of Romania, very close to the border with the Soviet Union. My Romanian girlfriend, M, and her mother, D, who was a concert pianist, accompanied Howard and I on the trip. Howard wanted to look over into the Soviet Union at the border crossing some miles north of Siret. Nothing's happening. Howard was dissatisfied with the inactivity at the border. The armed guards stood to attention at the chain link fence. The barrier was firmly down and there was no movement of people or vehicles. Is there a fence along the entire border, he asked me. I'm not sure. My guess is that the steel mesh link fence gives way to armed lookout towers and foot patrols. The border's very long. A fence would be too costly. Well, there's only one way to find out. Howard was determined. And so we found a narrow side road that seemed to run parallel with the Soviet border and began following it. However, after a few kilometres, the road deteriorated to a mere track and we could see nothing of what we wanted. I knew that if we could find a small hill or even a low rise without trees, we would probably be able to see the town of Chernivtsi in the Soviet Republic of the Ukraine. I swung the car round a bend in the track and the trees seemed to thin out. This looks more promising. Just as Howard uttered these words, I caught sight of some 30 yards to my left, a camouflage net draped over a bulky object. A large caliber green cannon protruded. In a flash, I was transported back to a combined military operation we Gordon Highlanders had participated in with a cavalry regiment of the British Army. When a tank must adopt a fighting position, the commander finds a ridgeline or even a slight incline and stops short. He then orders the tank's tracks to spin in reverse and digs the body of the tank into the ground until only its cannon is above the horizon. This allows the tank to fire at will while presenting a difficult target for the enemy. Alarmed, I braked, and the entire picture presented itself. Only metres away from our car, a group of uniformed soldiers stood at ease. I could see the cannon of at least three more tanks all poking through camouflage netting and all pointing north. The position of these tanks appeared to answer the question, what Romania might do if the Soviet Union invaded from the north. They would resist. This was the only time in the 2 years I spent in Romania when I thought faster than a Romanian. In a fraction of a second, I had taken mental stock of our situation. One, we've stumbled into at least a troop of Romanian tanks entrenched in fighting position with their guns facing into the Soviet Union. Two, we are four people in a sensitive place we should not even be close to. Three, two male British passport holders in a British car with diplomatic plates. No immediate danger. Four, two vulnerable Romanian women with Romanian identification in immediate danger. Say nothing, I ordered to the women. Look straight ahead. To Howard, your passport. I got out of the car with a smile on my face, took only a single step towards the soldiers and stopped. One astonished soldier, shaving in a mirror nailed to a tree, dropped his razor in a basin and gave an order. One of the others handed him his battle dress jacket. He struggled into it. Another soldier handed him his pistol. Aha, so he was the officer in the group. Good. I addressed myself to him as he walked towards me, his pistol drawn down by his side. He was a professional. I extended both of my arms out from my body, one hand empty, two British passports in the other. He was, I saw, at a loss for words. Our training sergeant in the Gordons had drilled into us an imperative. In a tricky situation, always seize the initiative. I did. Good day, Colonel. My friend and I are lost. We are tourists from the British Embassy in Bucharest. How can we reach Siret? He took the two passports with his free hand and tucked his pistol into his belt. You say you are from the British Embassy. You are driving a car with diplomatic plates. Why don't you have diplomatic visas? He was obviously smarter than he looked. You are right, sir. This car belongs to my good friend, the British consul. I am the visiting British professor at Bucharest University. My friend and I are touring your beautiful country. Here? Touring here? I apologize, sir. Can you please tell me the best way to leave? Do not leave. Do not even move. By now his cavalrymen were armed and loosely grouped. The officer walked a short distance with our passports to a tent well camouflaged, so well camouflaged that I hadn't noticed it. A tank regiment will normally be supported by a communications unit. He appeared a few short minutes later. He had buttoned his battle dress and combed his hair. To my utter astonishment and profound relief, he handed me back our two passports. "You will go back the way you came. When you reach Siret, you will be met by the militia. You will follow their instructions." I nodded and thanked him warmly to show him and to try to convince myself that I was unafraid. We were by no means in the clear yet. The militia were the regular highway police, but they came under the supervision of the all-powerful secret police. I got back in the car. Howard looked shaken, but still wore a wan smile on his face. M and D, expressionless, stared obediently at the backs of the seats in front of them. Very, very slowly, I turned the car and drove until the soldiers and the camouflage netting covering the tanks were out of sight. Then I drove faster. Nobody in the car said a word. 15 minutes later, as we entered Siret, two militia officers were waiting for us, their right hands raised in warning. I stopped. I hadn't the slightest idea what to expect. Would we be taken away for questioning? Arrested on suspicion of spying? I could feel that M and D and even Howard were as tense as I was.
Yeah, and as I am. I guess we'll have to read some more to see what happened.
You've then. You've got to read the ending of that.
Well, thank you very much, Ronald, for coming in today. We've been talking with Ronald Mackay, world traveller, researcher, teacher, and now the author of a fascinating memoir called A Scotsman Abroad.
Thank you, Gwyn, and thank you, Felicity.
Yeah,
it's been
welcome.
A pleasure.
I had mentioned earlier that your book is published in Romania, so are Canadians able to buy it online?
It is actually free online, and if anyone who's interested in it would like to Google the Contemporary Literature Press, Bucharest, they will be able to follow the pages and find Ronald Mackay, A Scotsman Abroad.
Wonderful.
And they can download it in PDF.
Great. Thanks very much, Ronald. And thank you too to our listeners for tuning in today. If you would like to connect with us, please visit our website, www.wordonthehills.com, and leave a comment there. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week, right here on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio. Thank you.